Lord, just again, just this evening, Father, just this time, Lord, we're just grateful again, Father, just to be your people, Father, those that are called by your name, those that know you, Lord, those that walk with you, Father. And Lord, just as we would just spend some time, Lord God, just together in your word, Lord God, as we just spend some time, Lord, encouraging one another, Father, in your truth. Lord, we just pray that your spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would be with us, that you lead and guide, Father, every word that's spoken, Lord, that all things would be done in accordance with the spirit of truth. And Lord, right now I just acknowledge openly, continuously, Lord, that there's nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. And so to your spirit I yield. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you have your will and your way, Lord, and grant rest and peace unto your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. All right. So, okay. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Le Hebrews. The Hebrews. Hebrews are cool. I like it. Okay. All right, Hebrews chapter 9, and just one verse to start with, to contemplate as such. Verse 27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Okay, so Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The series that we have started, are going to be working with for a little while. The loose title of it is Preparing to Die. Now, okay, when we, just setting this thing up a little bit, some things just to note as part of life and the dimension that we live in and we exist in. Verse 27. Yeah. Okay. Everyone dies, you know, and this is something that people have a hard time coming to grips with. Most people in the world seek to pad themselves from that reality, want to Botox themselves out of that reality, want to, you know, like midlife crisis themselves with a Ferrari or whatever. But whatever it is to, like, not deal with the eventualities that, you know, basically we are born into this world, into this paradigm, but for some reason, you know, we know that that reason has to do with the fall, that everything in this dimension that we're in has, like, is bound to, yeah, is bound to decay and limit, and so really that there's time stamped on this dimension. And so, excuse me, and so, you know, here, when it says that as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, that, you know, a stark reality that people have, which is that, okay, everybody passes from this life into another reality. And, excuse me, and whatever that other reality is, that's what it is. See, you know, and so, you know, it's scary for people because most people have never prepared themselves for what that potentially is and could be. So it scares them. They surround themselves then with, you know,
insecurity.
Yeah, and religious type things, something that looks spiritual, that then will say, okay, you're okay if you, you know, come on Sunday. Yes, you come on Sunday, you give 10%, you know, buy the chandelier, and you know, it's like you're okay then. And then they tell you you're okay with God, you're okay to die, you're fine. And or you know, come do your dharma or your pujas or your this or your that, or you build this temple. And it takes on all these different forms. But the rub happens when somebody's actually faced with the real possibility of actually passing passing from this life, if they have the chance to actually see that, that's when you find out, is somebody really ready to die or not? And you find out in that situation that most people are not actually prepared to pass from this life into the next. So really, you know, and in the end, you know, when you think about it, it's like, okay, if this life is passing away, then, you know, what it really puts all the other activities that you might do into a different perspective. Because, okay, all of us have experienced renting places, yes? And but when you're a renter, does it make much sense to put tens of thousands of dollars into fixing up your rental? You know, it's like, no, because why? Because it's not yours. Your reality is that the reality of the situation is that you're building up something that in the end is not yours, and you are now passing from the reality of the place that you rent to wherever it is that you will go that you really do own, but it's not there. And so most people, they spend their lives in effect building up somebody else's rental and not, you know, any focus on really their eternal dwelling. And the result of that is that they end up going to the place that they have made a decision and prepared to go. Now that's why when Jesus said, look, you know, I go before you to prepare a place for you, like, he was, for those that have, who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to those that are following him. He's talking to those that are in relationship with him. He's talking to those that have made an investment in the kingdom of God. Those that follow him, he says, look, you know, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Basically, you're on your way to die. You follow Jesus no matter what, his way, not yours, every day. And the byproduct of that is like, okay, those that are following on that path, they're also daily, moment by moment, making an eternal investment into a reality that, you know, is the real one. And so Jesus says, look, you know, in the end, for those that follow him, he's like, you know, where I go, it's like, I want you to be with me. These are those that are in relationship with him and connection with him. Now, that's what he is, in the end, offering. Now, doesn't it make more sense when you start to see all of a sudden it puts life and the pursuits of life and all those things in a whole lot different perspective? Because you see things now through just a filter, which is a reality for everybody. Where was everyone that was here 200 years ago? You know, every person, all these, you know, we have these ancestral shots on walls, and you know, this is my great 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 grandfather, great grandmother kind of thing. Sure, they were probably really nice people, but they're not here anymore. And all of the contributions that they made and all the things that they tried to even do to try to even ensure that they would leave some legacy, some that somebody would even remember them. You know, creating endowments and creating, you know, trust funds in their name, all that stuff. In the end, people really don't, the world moves on. They're far too busy to recall those that came before. Unless it's like a footnote in history for even, you know, the biggest ones of them. And even then, it's like, it's whoever's making a rendition of what they would like people to believe about that person, not really who the real person was. So... So now, you know, overlaying the reality of the situation, which is that, you know, all of us pass from this life to the next, how now do we, what now do we do to be in a spiritual spot, in as ready and as prepared as we can be for that, so that when that does happen, one, we're ready, and then two, we're also prepared on this side so that we can actually live. See, you know, there's an interesting quote Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said that a man is not a man until he has something he's willing to die for. And basically, like, you know, it's like, it's you know, just talking to about people basically like, you know, your passions and all of those kind of things of like, you know, what is it that really you're willing to give your life for? You know, your life, the life that you've been given here, what is it that's important enough to you or priority enough to you that you're willing to, you know, the breath that you have to give that up in exchange for what? You know, what is that thing that you value greater than yourself? And that's, you know, for him, he saw that as like, you know, for men, you know, probably especially young men, seeing that as something that's like, you know, that is a point of passage from being a boy into being a man. It's like, you know, from that stage of you know, like, okay, you're just kind of out there being self-serving, all of that, but now, you know, you transition to actually, you know, a man is one that takes responsibility. A man is one that, you know, rises up to the challenge of being that. You know, boy, you know, you can have a 60-year-old boy. You know, there are plenty of them running around. You know, they take no responsibility for life, for action, for the things that they, you know, are naturally accountable for, let alone what they should have rose up to. You know, they won't even take responsibility for their natural accountability. I mean, even like, you know, in the wild, you know, there's animals that take, you know, accountability for their own young and offspring. I mean, there's people that don't even live up to, you know, very base animalistic reality, let alone, you know, what, you know, they're supposed to as somebody that's created in the image and likeness of God. So, but God's people are different. You know, we step up to the plate. You know, anyone that, it takes courage to follow Jesus, because anyone that will actually follow him, you know, they're like, okay, you know, they get on this road, and as he reveals to them, this is what it really means to follow me, they are willing to go forward with that while others fall off. And now it's not something that happens via people's, you know, physical prowess and strength, because as scripture says, you know, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, there's a few things that you know, are universal. Like, everybody gets 24 hours in a day that we get to work with. You can be the richest man in the world or the beggar in the street. You everybody gets that same. We get universally, we get to use that as well. And likewise, people get free will. We all get that. You know, these are the things that you know, we then in the end are also measured with. Like, you know, okay, you had free will, free volition to choose. You know, you had the ability to choose. You had the ability to choose light or dark. You had the ability to choose the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world. You had the ability to serve the Father or to serve yourself. You know, and based on your volition, your choice, what you allowed your heart to be inclined towards is now it's like, okay, you now get for all eternity the fruit of your choice. For some people, that's a very scary thing. You know, for other people, it's like, you know what, I've been following, if I get the desire of my heart, and the desire of my heart is Christ, they're like, they're just grateful because that's what they want. So, okay. But death in and of itself is just a transition point. You know, it's a point where and for those that have already in Christ Jesus crossed over, because see, this is when, you know, the whole thing with Christ going to the cross, I shouldn't say the whole thing, but a big, you know, a huge part of this was, you know, sin, death, all of that, he takes that upon himself on the cross and takes upon himself the sins of the world. He that knew no sin became sin for us. The word propitiation, which is basically he became the substitute for us for what you and I couldn't do, what you and I could not pay. He takes it all upon himself. It's there, done in him. And so when the Spirit of God draws someone to himself, and at the same time that person of their own choice responds to the drawing of the Spirit of God, and they you know, God draws, and they don't harden their heart, but they hear His voice and they respond. When they bow their knee before Him and they receive that gift of life that comes in Christ Jesus, what happens is, and when they receive, you know, basically, you know, eternal life that comes in Him, they now, the old them is now hid in Christ Jesus, and that old them, it gets nailed to the cross, you know, with Him in the dimension of spirit. And so, like, so, and then the blood is applied on their life, the name of Jesus is applied on their life, and they're now found in Him. And so that's why what happens is like when we do the whole thing with water baptism in the name of Jesus, like what takes place there is it's a symbolic representation of the spiritual reality that we've gone through. So basically, here's the person, and they're there, and then they go down into the water, and when they come out, you know, and they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they come out, what happens is it's basically like the old them down, dead, buried, and then the new them that comes out is now in Him, the resurrection life that rose Jesus from the dead, that brought Him out of the grave, you know, the Spirit of God that quickened Him, that same Spirit lives in them, and that's who is now living. So the moment that a person comes up out of that, you know, and as it's a representation of the moment that the Spirit of God quickened them, and basically that new person that's now there is this living vessel in which the Spirit of God dwells, a temple, a walking, breathing temple of the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God lives in them. So like Romans 12, you know, where it talks about living sacrifices, and you know that you're the temple of this. I mean, like, you know, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Like, so your body is that sacrifice, and the Spirit of God lives within the temple, which is now you. So the reason that, you know, like that we're in this incredible phase right now, you know, we live in this time where the Spirit of God now dwells within us. And I mean, that's an amazing thing. You know, when the fact of the matter being that for God's people, for those that walk with Him, those that know Him, He's not something, you know, over there. He's not a distant, He's in you. The life, the breath, every aspect of that is Him living and breathing through you. And to the degree to which we will turn ourselves over to Him is to the degree to which you will experience the abundant life that He intended for you. So when Jesus talked about, you know, to some, you know, 30, 60, 100 fold, that's, you know, 30, 60, 100%. It's like, how much of God will you allow to? And if somebody just goes no holds barred, Lord, 100%, you have your will in your way, I want the maximum of whatever it is that you say it is, that's what they get. If somebody says, you know, all right, Lord, I trust you here, but, you know, I still want to hold on to whatever this is, then they get to hold on to that weight, and they get to now try to run the race with that thing on their ankle. They're still running, but they're running slow, they're running shackled, they're getting tired, and they're trying to make it like that. So like that, you know, that's why when He instructs people, you just go with it, you know, but just make sure that He's sending you, because the thing you don't want to do is, like, you know, get off on your own trip. And there's a lot of people that will well-meaningly, that's the right word, well-meaningly, you get what I mean, but they will want to help you save your life in their own minds and in their own thinking. But God is helping you to come to an end of yourself so that you can actually now really live in Him. Does that make sense? So it's a process. And, you know, I think too, you know, we go through some interesting phases as well. Like when somebody first gets drawn by him, you know, I think you get
so much of
yeah, and you almost get cuddled, and you know, it's like it's this whole like, you know, like, oh my gosh, it's like this big, it's like this big, you know, warm high kind of thing. And then, you know, as they start, you know, then it's like the Spirit of God's like, okay, now time for you to go into the desert. Just like Jesus, you know, it's like, okay, here's this moment with, you know, John the Baptist, and, you know, the Spirit comes down like a dove, and the whole big, you know, like Hollywood production, five star, and everything's like, I mean, you would think that at that moment in time, like, all right, here Jesus is going to go and do everything, and it's, you know, boom. And it's like, no, the next thing that God's doing, like, okay, now, the first thing that the Spirit of God is going to lead you into is send you out into the wilderness, where you will fast for 40 days and 40 nights. This is no 2.5 day Sri Lankan whatever thing. No, this, I mean, like full on, like, you know, like following the Father into that place. And in that place, you know, like as he goes in there to, just like every other servant of the Lord from before, and all those that will follow the steps of Christ Jesus after, go through phases and processes in God's training school, not man's seminary, but God's training school, where he puts them through these, under his direction, under his guidance. And each one has a purpose. And part of even the wilderness experience is like, you know, he's allowed to come face to face with the devil and with the allures and the trappings that so many fall to when it's not rosy. You know, I mean, how many people drop off this walk the day that they get hungry? You know, how many people start to complain and to bellyache when the first thing doesn't work out in the way that they thought that they wanted it? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many people, like, the moment that it's 2 days of something not working and they are grumbling and complaining? You know, I mean, like, you think of the children of Israel when the whole golden calf thing... And Moses went up on the mountain, and it didn't take very long for him to be gone. And they're like, you know, yeah, it was like, who is this Moses guy? You know, who's, you know? And then they're like, oh, okay, we'll make us gods that we can. And so they and Aaron's like, okay, so he's like, gets everybody to bring some gold jewelry, and then they show up, and then they you know, melt it down, and they make a metal calf, and then they, you know, like, how quickly, when, you know, there's just a delay.
The thing with people is that they want to hold on to something tangible. They want to see, and, you know, that's the problem. They don't believe in the, you know, supernatural.
Well, people are not, one of the things too is because of the fact that people die. Also, then it's like people feel like every moment that you're here, you should be, you know, duck, 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 all the way to your grave. And it's like, but God doesn't work like that. You know, God will keep somebody that's listening to him in a holding pattern for 5 years, not doing anything of worldly significance at all. You know, just, you know, going to, you know, a couple different spots, working something. But that's where he wants them to be, because he's settling them down under his hand, teaching them to learn his voice, revealing some things. And he may not have given them any revelation past that for 5 years. So he would have said 5 years ago, okay, I want you to stay here. I want you to stay in this spot. And I want you to just be faithful in these responsibilities I've given you right here, right now. And that's it. And that's all he wanted them to do. And they needed to stay faithful to the last instruction that God gave them, and until the time is that he then moves them on to the next thing. And what happens is like, if you can't man that post on the wall, where, you know, like a night watchman in general doesn't have a very glamorous job. You know, for the one random city attack that might come in his night watch, he's sat up there on that wall for hundreds and hundreds of nights in a row and nothing's happened. But if he fails to do that post successfully, you know, there's a lot of people that die on his watch. So, but people that, you know, serve that post, they're like, they want the city to be attacked every night. You know, they want every night for somebody to be attacking so that they can then get the horn out and make a big noise. And it's like, and no, it's not happening like that. We're part of the army of God. And as a soldier in the army of God, one thing that a soldier learns is they learn to be part of the command structure that they are in connection with. Now, we receive our messages directly from the head, the high priest, which is Christ Jesus. And in those messages that come to us, he knows exactly where he wants his body to be, when he wants his body to be there, what he wants the body to be doing. And that placement for us, it will not happen if you are of your own free will saying, no, God, I think I should be really doing this. Now, God allows for you to have discussion with him, but in the end, if you're really his, Lord, you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You can have your Garden of Gethsemane moment like Jesus, where you're like, you know, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if you're really following the footsteps of Jesus, you finish the prayer like he did, which is, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. So, and that is part of the process that God brings his people to and through. Because in order for somebody to be of any merit in his hand, of any usefulness in his hand, he needs to be able to also know that I can work with this person. Trust. Yeah, I mean, you know, the issue of trust is that, see, it says in scriptures that Jesus trusted no man because he knew what was in a man, right? Okay, likewise, if he also knows what's in you, so he doesn't trust the flesh that's in you, but he does trust if his spirit is fully in you and you of your free will have given yourself over to the leading and the guiding of his spirit. He trusts his own spirit that he puts in you. If you yield it to that, that's the person that he then says, okay, this is the person that I can work with because I know what's in them. It's me. I am now in that person. My life is now in that person. I'm flowing through that person, and that person is wholly given over to me. I can now work with that person. I can now work through that person. This is one now that I choose. And see, the abundant life doesn't happen unless a person shifts into that. See, that's the irony of the whole John 10 situation, which is, you know, Jesus said, look, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But it doesn't happen. Unless they're following. See, because he says that, and the context of that, he says, my sheep know me, and they won't follow, they know my voice, and they won't follow another. So these are his sheep following the leading of his voice, and as they follow his voice and they go with him, in that process of following him, he's then, what is he doing? Well, one of the things that he says to them is like, oh, by the way, I'm leading you to die. I'm leading you to your own death. I'm leading you to the end of yourself. Now, on this side of reality, well before you would actually die in the natural, so that the rest of the time that you would now exist in this reality will be an abundant life, will be a full life, will be the actual purpose that you were made for in the first place. And the longer that people delay that, you know, people talk about tak 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 wanting to get, well, the longer that you delay that by trying to, you know, be something in this world, is all that wasted of what you could really be living, which is the abundant life that Christ offers. So it is a paradigm shift that most people aren't taught. See, you know, one of the most, I think one of the most difficult things is having to unlearn all of the crap that we are taught, you know, along the way. I mean, you have to like have a thorough like mental enema. I mean, just to like, you know, get like all this stuff like has to just get like purged from people's heads, because their minds are so filled up with so much junk about who God is, what God's about, what He's supposed to do, how He's supposed to do everything, how it's supposed to work out for me, name it and claim it. You know, if you're sick or something's wrong in your life, there's a problem with your faith. You know, like, oh, if your thing's not growing, then it's not, you know, there's something wrong with your connection with God. Oh, you had some problem that showed up in your life, that means God must be mad with you, Job. Or it's like, you know, it's like all of these different things that go on, and in the end it's like, stop. I mean, did you ever stop and check with your Creator and ask Him what He thought about this? You know, or did we ask 50 other people what they thought and got 50 different opinions, and every one of them is from the mind and the soul of man or even the enemy, and then people are just so hopelessly confused that they don't know what to do, that they check the BBC for what the reality is supposed to be? Yeah, I mean, it's like, what something that's really curious to me is how many people that claim to walk with God seem to also live in so much fear. Fear, like just their lives are governed by fear. They make up boogeyman. You know, they create closets, they build closets to put imaginary boogeymen in to then be afraid of. And whereas, like, you know, there is no fear in Christ Jesus. It's all an illusion. All of those things that people are afraid of are purely illusions. Are purely illusions. Now, what you should fear is the one that made you, that has the power to cast your soul into hell. So doesn't it make sense to take some time to get right with Him, but also knowing that in Christ Jesus, the way was made for you to have direct access and direct connection with Him through the blood of Jesus, which was the price that had to be paid. So now you can actually ask Him directly. You know, isn't that a nice thing? I mean, so it's like if there's a problem, if there's a limitation, if there's something that's wrong with the issue between you and Him, because of what Jesus did, you can actually boldly go before the throne of grace in the name of Jesus and say, Father, just want to check something here. You know, are we off? You know, is there an issue? You know, is there something that I need to deal with, that I need to get right with you? If there is, would you please show me, because I really want to get this right with you. I want to do this right before you. He does that. And if somebody fails to take that, which is what God offers, which is what God expects, actually, of His people, that's the expectation, that they do have that direct relationship with Him, because in the end, that's what they're also, that's the dividing line, you know. It's like either you know Him or you don't. And those that don't know Him, He's like, look, depart from me, I don't know you. It's like, I don't want you in my house. I don't know you. It's like every person that will be with God for all eternity are those that know Him. And the ones that will not be there are the ones that don't know Him. So, it's like, and really, you can't go by the covers. You cannot judge these books by their covers, because there are those that walk with Him that do not carry the label, that dress differently, that, you know, have a different language, color, taste, you know, everything, but they're His. Made for Him, heart towards Him, seeking Him with all that they are, following Jesus, doing whatever it is that He says. And, you know, those are your brothers and sisters, and they will be revealed for all eternity. And likewise, you know, those that would seek to dress like you, act like you, talk like you, can be a wolf in sheep's clothing, sitting right, doing, mirroring you, just to get close to you, to try to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And without the spiritual discernment of the Holy Spirit, they weasel their ways into your lives to try to suck you dry and to try to basically get whatever they can out of you, if they could in fact kill you spiritually, mentally, physically sometimes, all of that. Now, God calls people to be free. You know, here's something that's really cool. You don't have to allow that. There is no victim mentality for the people of God. God's people are not victims. In Christ Jesus, we're overcomers. You know, that's the thing too, that I get. It's
how do you differentiate it? I mean, sometimes it's so deceiving.
Yeah, very much.
It's very deceiving.
Because it says that Satan has ministers that transform themselves into angels of light. That they literally, the thing is that you start to realize, okay, it's got a sheen, but it's not the light of God. It's something else. There's something.
Yeah. At the same time, you want to run away, but at the same time, then the guilt. You go on a guilt trip, saying, okay, you're a Christian, so you know you should treat.
That's the programming. That's the mental programming that, again, we have to break out of. See, when we see, this is where also that whole conditioning thing that happens. Oh, you're a Christian. So if you're a Christian, that means that you do all of these expectations that I now put on you, and if you don't do those expectations, you now don't fall into my expectation of what I define a Christian should be, what I define a follower of Christ should be. How does that work? So somebody doesn't follow Christ for themselves, and they're going to tell you now what they think a follower of Christ is supposed to be. And if you don't, and let you know if you're not living up to that expectation. I mean, that is nuts. And the people that, it will drive you crazy if you start trying to walk down that line. But see, the issue is, see, even go back to what Jesus said about, he said, look, John came neither eating nor drinking. You know, and you said that, you know, here's this guy's demon possessed and nuts out in the wilderness. And Jesus, the Son of Man, came eating and drinking. He said, here's a wine bibber and a friend of the worst kind of people. It's like, but, he says, but wisdom is proved right by her children. In effect, basically saying, look, you know, I gave you, so one option shows up and you find a way to fault it. I give you the other side of the same option, the same spirit of truth coming through, and you find another fault. So it's like basically what people were, the problem that people had was with the spirit behind John and Jesus. Because really in the end, what happens is if you're one of the worlds, they will make a pass for you no matter what form you come in. So like you can be, you know, you can be a pedophile and the world will give you a pass. Or you can be clean cut and all that. It accepts and embraces those that are its own. It gets its own out of trouble. It sometimes does devour its own, and it's because, like, you know, they do have a way of cannibalizing themselves because they're still rob, steal, kill, destroy. That's their nature. But in general, the world takes care of its own, and you're not one of them. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, no surprise when like now, in fact, the only reason that we even continue to exist and thrive in Christ Jesus is because there's a legion of angels that shores us up, that takes these turkeys out when they cross a certain line with us, that keeps us from being completely undone. And if we fail to have the protection of God, who could fight that off? I mean, like for me, I think back on just these certain sets of experiences, even over the last year, I'm like, unless it was the protection of God on my own life personally, you know, somebody's, you go pick up my stereo and have fun because I'm not using it anymore, I'm gone. I mean, it's like there is no... there is no way that I would be able to continue to exist here in this dimension without the protection of God. But that said, when you realize that too, you realize too that you are not leaving one moment before your appointed time, back to the same passage, appointed unto men for God's people that walk with Him, you will die on time. You will die right when you're supposed to. You will leave this life right when you are supposed to. And when you do, it's just like a little hiccup. And you go straight from that into an amazing reality that you're like, whew, okay, I'm glad that one's good, great. That was an abundant life. And on to something amazing that God has in store for you. Go from glory to glory, strength to strength. Death for you has no sting whatsoever. At all. And that's why too, that God's people, His true ones, they live fearlessly. Because they've been completely given over to Him. And as they're completely given over to Him, His love floods their hearts and their lives. And there's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. So as that perfect love drives out all fear, there's nothing now in them that keeps them and holds them back from fulfilling and living the way that God intended them to live. See, fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with torment. Fear has to do with uncertainty. Fear has to do with the unknown. All of those are done away with when you walk with Christ. When you truly walk with Christ. Not when you wear a crucifix, not when you go on Sunday, not when you see all these rituals that people have given a pass to one another, pat each other on the back and say, you know, okay, everything's cool, everything's alright, if you just do, all of that doesn't work. And they know it. You know, and in fact, that's why when somebody, like, they die and they're like, you know, pastor, you know, because they know the real person, too, in the middle of all that. Like, you know, do you think such and such? I mean, why are you uncertain? If the person, you know, what are you scared of? What was there? Yeah, what if that person was walking with Christ, it's
his walk, and he's the one what he did right and what he did wrong.
And you're responsible for your own actions, no one else's.
Absolutely. See, that's another thing too, it's so interesting. It's like people are content with groupthink, where, like, you know, they're like, as they just get in this big group of people and they're like, you know, okay, but you don't want to be, in the end, they're like, you know, you are, as an individual, you know, you stand before God, you know, and so it's like, you can, so there's like a mob that'll go in and they will burn down a shop. Okay, oh yeah, nobody saw it. Yeah, but, you know, there comes a time when you pass from this life into the next, and everything that you did is now put on an eternal big screen, and it's all right there, for laid bare for all creation. Forget just the people on the block and some other people. It's all right there. And it's just, and it's like, oh my, you know, it's like, I mean, if people realize just that aspect of it, that there's nothing hidden, not a thing is hidden. And that's why, like, so that's why those that love truth come into the light. Those that hate the truth go and try to find the darkness, try to get hidden. But there's a point where, like, everything is disclosed. Everything is brought into the light. Everything that you are, that you're about, you become an eternal manifestation of that when you pass from this life into the next. See, scriptures talk about in your, actually, let's flip here. Let's go to Daniel really quick. This Daniel chapter 12. An amazing prophetic book and a fantastic webmaster. Daniel chapter 12. Okay. And verse 9 says, "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So, okay, one thing, just note to people, if people don't get it, you know, it's okay because they're not going to get it. You know, it's just like your dog that was running around there for a little while. Some things that dog will never understand.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating. But, you know, realize too that there's some things you will be able to communicate and there's some things that you won't.
Isn't there a way of I know people do understand certain quotes, you know. So we understand, I understand what perfectly what you're saying. But people from the world, they don't. Is there a way of communicating that?
The best way that you can communicate this?
Real life.
Absolutely. Is for you to, the best way that you can communicate this is for you to follow Christ Jesus 100% with everything that you are, every moment of every day. That communicates more than any word that you will ever say with your mouth. Period. You, now, God will give you words to say along the path, but just say them when He leads you to. Otherwise, you live the life that God has called you into. That will speak volumes. Absolutely. And I think that's why too, you know, we live in an over-communicated society where there's a lot of fluff but there's no substance. They see the substance of your life because the Spirit of God gives you depth, gives you character, gives you truth. That's who you are. And when people see, when they see you, they can't help but realize there's something different about you. They just do. I mean, like you and in fact, the more and more dark that the world grows, the brighter that you will shine. Because it's just, that's just the way that it works. As things get more and more dark, the light shines even brighter. You take a candle, you put it in this room, and with all the other lights on, okay, the candle's there, it's giving light as well. But you shut off all the other lights, that candle is the brightest thing in here. Same with you. You know? Okay, let's keep going though. But just one thing though, don't go nuts when it seems like everybody else is nuts. Don't go nuts when it seems like everybody else is nuts. Because when they're not getting it, they're not going to get it. You know, don't throw your pearls before swine. Don't try to convince and persuade those that don't have a heart for truth. Don't try to mentally, you know, jog somebody into a spot where they can get, because you're not going to save anybody. Scriptures say that no one comes unto the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So we witness the truth when God leads us to, and we do share the gospel where and when God gives us the opportunity. But God is the Savior, God is the deliverer, God is the one that brings people out. Jesus Christ does that. You, as an obedient soldier and as a faithful witness and as an ambassador, we play the role and the part that we do. But also keep your responsibility in check as well, which is, you know, our responsibility is to live before Him in what He's called us into. See, this is again, you know, one of the things where we have to break out of that too, which is another mental, like, bondage that you get put within the church. Okay, here's one with that whole thing. I'm getting on a tangent for a little bit. But the whole thing of like, oh my gosh, what about the pygmies in Africa? You know, all these pygmies are going to, you know, and so we have to go to Africa with and save the pygmies. And it's like, well, you know what most missions are? Most missions are an exporting of the church culture that people come from. And so if they get enough resources together, they basically take that organization that they have and they export it and they go teach other people, here's how you do your organizational culture just like we do ours. And if they get big enough, they can just franchise. So then if you go to another place, just like McDonald's, you know exactly what you're going to get when you go into such and such denomination, such and such divisional place. Does that have anything to do with God? When Jesus said that, you know, like, John came neither eating nor drinking, I came this different way. And it's like, well, what happens if in one place God has them to eat and drink, and in the other place He has them to be wilderness people? How does that work with your franchise? Does not work with your franchise. But anyways, all of this thing of like what happens is basically people set people up with these mental bondages, mental trappings, all this other stuff, and then people now get all excited about it, and then they're like, okay, we need to go do this, we need to go do that. You know, when you get to these places, you find out, you know what, they have people that, God, the wheat and the tares go together, God's got His people, He's revealed Himself every place to anybody that had a heart for Him, and He's doing that consistently, and you know what, you just get a chance to be part of what He's doing if you're surrendered to Him, period. But this is His bat, His ball, His playing field, and it's all His, and not yours, not mine. Ours is just to fulfill the role and the responsibility that He's given to us, but not to take on yourself the role of Savior, because you are not saving anybody. I am not saving anyone. Jesus is the Savior. And that's why, too, like, there's certain things that only in God's timing, only in God's way, will God make and certain things happen with people that you even love and care about. And you can try and try and try and try and try to make somebody just see something, but until God reveals it to them, nothing's going to happen there. So back to, well, what do? Well, one of the most important things that you do is you live your life 100% walking with Him. Because when you live your life like that, what happens is your life becomes like, it becomes a consistent thing that in a turbulent world they can always look to and say, well, this is, they see that in you. They see that your life is built on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, and that whatever storms come, you're always there on the other side of those things and you stand strong with Him. They know that. They know the difference between that. Versus, you know, as everybody else collapses, and then it does an impact. And then when you do speak, see, the thing too that's really cool, like, in fact, one thing that I've even started doing more and more, rather than, you know, me, you know, saying, okay, God, I want to go out and I want to preach the gospel to such and such people, and I want to go, see how even that sounds? No, rather saying, Lord, You know those that are Yours. You know those that You're drawing to Yourself. Lord, if there's anybody that You would have for me to be any part in that drawing process, you know, would You just cross their path with mine? Would You cross my path with theirs, you know, this day, this week? You know who they are. And just lead me to them, lead them to me as we just walk with You. You'd be surprised when you start praying like that, how many people will start crossing your path that need Him. Because God will do that. Because now it's not you trying to do anything for Him, but you now making yourself available for Him to use as He would like. See, as long as there's self-will involved, you're not of any use to God. I'll say that again. As long as there is self-will involved, you are of no use to God. Because there is no room for self in what God is trying to do. What God is doing, I shouldn't say trying, He does what He does.
Basically, your cup needs to be empty for God to
pour. Absolutely. See, like, alright, thank you very much for the tea. If this cup already had something else in it, you could not pour any tea in here. So first, this has to be poured out, and whatever was in here has to be poured out, and then whatever I really want in there then needs to be filled up. And if there's no room in this thing, then nothing can be poured in. So that's what happens, is all these people come to God, and they come to Him with all of their mental baggage, and basically they come to Him with this full cup. And He's like, okay, you want to follow me? Alright, let's go into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, if they will keep going through that process, everything in them gets poured out in there. And most of them, as soon as it starts getting poured out, they're like, let me go back. You know, let me find a church, Sunday service. Okay, great. This is good enough. Thank you. And then they live there dead, dry, having tasted for a moment God, seen that He was good, and then walked away from it and accepted a counterfeit reality, and then they live in that. And then when the day comes that their lives are about to pass, they go in terror onto an eternal realization that they never knew Him and what that means for them for all eternity. It's not nice. And it's completely avoidable. But it's also a free will decision and a free will choice. We come to Him, He pours us out, and then He fills us with Him. And once He fills us with Him, He's consistently pouring us out, overflowing us with His Spirit. I mean, for me right now, I'm in a spot where He's refilling me, because so much of, you know, I mean, just, I just went through a huge phase of like so much being poured out. But, you know, in the middle of this too, while He's refilling me as well, He's also still pouring me out. But it's this consistent process. Everything is new all the time. It's daily bread. It's fresh manna from Him. Okay. Back to Daniel chapter 12, though. I wanted to get to this. Let's just start again at verse 9. And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination and make it desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1305 days." Go back up to verse 1. I went too far. Okay. This is all good stuff, but that's for another time. Verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of tribulation." "Should be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Okay. "And let thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book," and it goes on. Okay. That's the point that I wanted to get to from a little bit earlier, which was, okay, as people step into eternity, there's many that rise, everybody basically. Alright, so some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And here gives a little indicator here. "They that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So it's like, so here you see also too that people, that when they cross into that reality, that they cross into now an eternal manifestation of who they are. So, and there's even here like a spirit, and that, see, the dimension that we're in right now, this is the dream one. Because what, everything that happens in this physical dimension, right, you know, none of it is, everything passes from here into the eternal reality, which is the dimension of spirit. So that's why, like, you know, sometimes like people see these celebrities and they're like, "Oh my gosh, you know, this, she's so hot, did you see her?" That's the physical. But if you had a chance to actually see what they look like in the realm of spirit, I've seen that before. Like, where actually God's allowed me to see, you know, some of these celebrities and to actually see what they look like. They're hideous. Many of them in the dimension of spirit, like, you know, what they really are like. But that's the real reality. That's the person that is waiting to be hatched, if you would, into all eternity. Grotesque. And then, so that is, so for me, they're like, you know, "Don't you find that person attractive?" No. Hell no. I don't find that person attractive. If you just see them on the dimension of the flesh and then this carnal base reality, you know, okay, and even that they have to Botox and nip and tuck, and you know, I mean, grandma put it away, how many times can you fold that stuff over? So it's like you know, they get to a point where it's like even they can't hold that together, and there's the next 15-year-old coming up and all. But if you see them in, and even that starts to even creep in as they get older. Even as they get older, you start to just see that even grotesque thing that's in them begin to just emerge in funny ways, even through their physical being. And it's just like, you look at some of these older celebrities. You know, these ones that have sold out to the world, that do not follow the Father, that just look at some of them even as they get older. I mean, it's like, it's not a pretty thing at all. Whereas God's people, they shine as they reflect His glory. They don't need Botox. They don't need all this. They just reflect Him. They have life in them. Life is very attractive. Life is beautiful. So every now and then, you know, it's like when necessary, it's like God will allow you to see it. But when you start to see, also likewise, when you can see somebody's spirit that actually walks with Him, that knows Him, and the beauty of that spirit, that's the real person in there. That's the real person that goes through this season in this life where they face the rejection of this dark world system, which we're surrounded by, which is fine, because for them they're like, hey, not an issue, because I know what I have in Christ Jesus. Absolutely fine. Reject me. I'm still gonna pray for you. I'm still gonna hope for the best for you. I'm still gonna hope that some of you, like Paul, will be turned around. And like the jailer in Acts 16, I'm going to hope that that happens with some of you, because God knows. And you know what? So I'm just going to leave that possibility there. You know, and Lord, just help me to keep walking with you. Cool. But they are the most beautiful, just eternal souls. And even here, you know, they give a small hint of this, where God's people, those that walk with Him, that have continued on in this light and in this line, if you're going to spend any of yourself investing in, you know, in trying to, why not invest on that side of the equation rather than, you know, in this carnal based temporary reality where it's going to be, you know, it's quick, it's fleeting. Yeah, there are certain things that you need to do to care for the natural body, you know, and you're a steward over the temple that God's given you. Now, if He calls you into a fast, if He calls you into whatever, do it, fine. But everything that we do, you do under the leadership and the guiding of the Spirit of God. If you eat, if you sleep, if you do, you know, it's like sometimes He'll call you into times of prayer, and He will, you know, not let you sleep for a while. That's fine. You know, but, you know, it's just because He's got something that He wants. He's working with those that will work with Him. But all of this is part and parcel of what the Spirit of God is doing with His people, with those that will walk with Him. And in order for a person to live the abundant life that God intended for them this day, they need to have crossed over in Christ Jesus from death into the life that He offers. And they can do that now. The best way is recklessly abandon yourself to the will of God and let Him take you through that process. And as He does that, praise Him and trust Him. It's a difficult thing, because you come face to face with the reality of who you are outside of Him. You see yourself for what you are apart from Him, and then you also then have a full revelation of who you are in Him. And that, but once you do that, and then go with it. And anyways, so we've got several more things in this thing, but I think for tonight we will stop there.